The Old Testament reading for the ascension of our Lord is from 2 Kings chapter 2. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to the one side and to the other, so the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And on the third day, he rose again according to the scriptures and descended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. You may be seated. Just a few minutes ago, you confessed those words in the Creed, and you do so rightly on a regular basis. The Nicene Creed has it, the Apostles' Creed has it, the Athanasian Creed. We confess the Lord's ascension. And so those words confess what the scriptures reveal about Jesus and what you heard a few minutes ago. Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Now what follows this event sums up well not just how the disciples perceived this all, but even as you sit here this evening. The ascension is important for them, and the ascension is important for you. We're told, "And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" So sinful flesh assumes a lot of things about the ascension of Jesus because, like the resurrection, it's something that's so foreign to us. Seeing someone laid into a tomb has a sense of finality to it. You don't see that person again, but as Christians, you look with eager anticipation to see him on that glorious day when he and you are raised from the dead. Likewise, when someone goes away, he goes away. He's not constantly present in your midst. Now, sure, there are visits, and those are wonderful, but it's not a constant presence with you. We're having some friends, Anastasia's godparents, are coming to visit tomorrow, and we haven't seen them for a while. We don't live by them anymore, so we don't see them as often as we used to see them. So, the ascension of Jesus, though, is not like these experiences in your life. That Old Testament reading has Elisha crying out as Elijah is taken into heaven. We're told, "And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen.' And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces." So even though Elisha believed in the resurrection and he would see Elijah again, there was no promise that Elijah would continue to be with him as he would go now on his prophetic work, continuing in Elijah's line. So the ascension can be confusing then. It's confusing. We don't understand what goes on when we first hear about these things. The disciples are no different, right? They're asking Jesus the question about if this is the time that now he will restore his kingdom, even up to the point of his ascension. And every time in my mind's eye, when I hear this account of the Lord's ascension, I always picture especially from Acts, when the two men speak to them, the disciples are just standing there going, what in the world? Right? It can seem like a goodbye, and then you have to, like, the Lord is going away, that he's no longer going to be with his people, and then you hear those readings in from the Word of God today. But the ascension is so comforting. It's for comforting for the church and for you as saints of God. Historically, this has been one of the big festivals in the church year, yet it's kind of been relegated into at least the lives of the church into something that has become very small. But the comfort of the ascension is still the same. Jesus has filled all things, and he lives and rules as your king. And you see, that's the thing for you today. Your Lord is uplifted in triumph as the crucified and risen Lord. All that has held you captive, sin, death, and the devil, the Lord made captive, and he has set you free. In Ephesians 4:8, the Holy Spirit inspired St. Paul to write, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. So salvation has been accomplished, and on this day, you gather as the people who are forgiven, free, and heirs of eternal life, reaping those benefits. And this is the gospel that Jesus sent out the apostles to preach. In the gospel reading, Jesus said, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me and the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So the apostles are sent out to give Christ, to give his benefits to his people. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins, law and gospel would be their proclamation to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, where they were going to receive power from on high. Because in 10 days, the Holy Spirit would be poured upon them at Pentecost. And so Jesus, at his ascension, was not sending them out alone, but he went with them, as did the name of the whole Trinity would go and work with them through and in the name of and in his name for God's people. Jesus was with them even as he had shown them that all things were fulfilled in him. Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, all of these things were pointing to Christ. All of them were fulfilled in Christ, and now they were going to preach it. And Jesus gives you that same promise, that he is with you always. He is present with you in your life and present for you. So though you no longer see him with your eyes like the disciples did, that doesn't mean he isn't present with you. And this isn't some spiritual warm thought, but a very real and concrete presence. In the reading from Acts, the Lord was overshadowed by a cloud. A cloud took him out of their sight. He is out of sight, but still near to you, and is at the right hand of the Father. Can he be both places? Yes, he can. Why? He's God. He can do that. Is he present only in his divinity? No, in his two natures, his human and divine, are united together. Where he is in his divine nature, he is also present in his human nature. His whole person as the Son of God is present in your life always. And as if that wasn't enough, he tells you where you find him present for you, and where you find forgiveness, life, and salvation. The means of grace, the word, and the sacraments are where your Lord promises to be present, really, truly, verily present for you. And yes, Jesus is also at the right hand of the Father, and he's there interceding for you. This also means that he's there in his humanity. The flesh and blood of a man, sinless and glorified, is at the right hand of God praying for you. Think about that. Humanity, Jesus, fully God and fully man, is at the right hand praying for you. Your brother in the faith, whose blood pleads your case before the throne of God, who prays for you as your mediator. So in some ways, then, the wonder and glory of Ascension Day is the wonder and glory of the Incarnation. There's comfort in knowing your Lord, the Son of God, is at the right hand of the Father, and he is for you. The same human flesh and blood which was in the womb of the Virgin Mary lived a perfect, obedient life, died on the cross, and is risen from the grave, is the same Lord who was at the right hand of the Father praying for you, who's ruling his church with his word and sacraments, and is here even for you now. So all of this comes to a head in your life. Take, for example, this evening. Here you are hearing this word of God, and your Lord is with you. He fills all things and is here now. He has led the captives of sin, death, and the devil, and he has accomplished your salvation. He has called you his own in the baptismal waters. He has gathered you together in his church, and he rules and governs you with his mercy, forgiving you, giving you eternal life. And yes, he even gives you his own true body and true blood given and shed for you. So this same Lord who ascended and went out of sight of the apostles is the same Lord who is here for you right now. Jesus lifted up his pierced hands and blessed the apostles, and he does the same for you even today. So rejoice this day of ascension because Jesus is with you and you are his. And he also promises you this day at his ascension that he is coming again. The angel preached this to the apostles as they looked dumbfounded at all they saw. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him going into heaven. Jesus is coming again. The day will come when you will see him face to face, no longer in veiled means. That day is promised to you on this day as well. Ascension Day is also a day of preaching to you that the Lord is coming again in great glory, and you will be with him. So Luke's gospel account ends today with these words. And they, the apostles, worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. So they finally did get the point. They did leave this site with joy. You leave this place tonight in that same joy. You have the sacramental presence of Jesus. You have the scriptures open to you. You have the gift and promise of the Father and the Holy Spirit. You know that the ascended Lord is with you always in the baptizing, teaching, and Lord's Supper of his church. You know that he is here and here for you until the end of time. So rejoice here in this temple, this church. Keep coming back to where your ascended Lord has promised to be for you, for your Lord invites you to be here. He showers you with his gifts. So what a great comfort this day is. Confess boldly, in the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. Know what this means as you speak those words. Know what this all means, because it's for you. This is your day to rejoice in your Lord, who has been crucified, who has risen, who has ascended. And that means he is near, and he's yours, now and forever. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.